Hawks got a win, baby. Let's go. Yeah, it was against the Wildcats and Fitzgerald, and they're bad, right? They're bad, but a win is a win. You can't control who's across the field from you. You just play whoever that opponent is. The Hawks did that. They executed. They looked better. They scored points. They moved the ball. Let's talk about it. Oh, and by the way, get those top five Halloween candies ready. We're doing a top five. Here we go. Let's have a day.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. This is episode 364 of this podcast that I do not belong on because I did not watch any of the game. I'm here for the top five segment at the end of this episode, and my entire plan was to sit back, relax, and shut the fuck up and enjoy this podcast along with you lovely folks. But Kevin is late. We're not going to have him for 5 minutes, so you're going to hear some more stupidity out of me for 5 minutes, and then I promise I will shut up. Kluver.
5 minutes of Dickhead Tuesday for the main show listeners. So respectful, drinking.
Actually, here, hold on.
Okay. He's wearing the, all right, for the video watchers, which by the way, apologies, for some reason, YouTube didn't want to load up the Ohio State preview the other day. Still working on that. But those who watch the YouTube, which is a fair amount of people nowadays, you know, we got over 2K subbies.
Oops.
Right? People tune in. Drake's wearing the fully tented shirt, and that is a Patreon exclusive. Do not subscribe to our Patreon. I'm not going to sell you on it. I'm not going to sell you on the extra episode. I'm not going to sell you on donating to the kids. I won't even sell you on the fact that you could get percentage off our merchandise, which could be big here leading to the, you know, the holiday season. And I definitely won't tell you to go to patreon.com/washupwalkons, which is where you'd be able to do all that. I would never do that to you guys. Kevin is late. Don't know what he's doing. No, he doesn't have anything to do. He doesn't have anything to do, but he likes to be late. Was good to see the boy yesterday. Also got to see Bo
Bauer.
Very,
very jealous. I forgot to mention that the tailgate followed by you guys being at the game. Like, there's got to be some good stories, you know?
There was.
Got to be a couple decent ones.
Bo was.
He was incredible.
It's just so good to be back around Bo Bauer.
Yep.
The tailgate was, by, you know, normal standards, pretty low key. There was, I would say that the inside the stadium, and people will echo this for those that were at the Northwestern game, O'Bain is knocked right now.
It's been a big day for him. He was at the gym with us all day, and I'll tell you something about Bain. The kid does not like to be tied up. He has now chewed through both of his leashes at the gym while I try to restrain him. And like, I laid out a bed, I set out his water bowl. We worked on place 100 times before practice started with treats and making him stay. And the kid is unruly when he sees his old man on the mat.
Do you feel old?
Not today. I didn't. I was smoking, folks.
That's good. Yeah. That's good.
They couldn't see me today.
In the post-game press conference, post-game call-in show that I do. I got a call-in from somebody that said, yeah, I think old man Ference. He used old man Ference to start the call. I was like, that's funny.
I mean, in the scheme of things, he is like the old man Ference, you know?
My old man
was my dad. And yeah. He is the dad of, you know, old man Ference.
He's dad.
Kid Ference is Brian.
Kirk's dogs. Got to get that t-shirt out.
Hey, whenever I decide to log back into my Twitter account, I have the most insane tweet fired up.
Yeah, not excited for it. Kevin actually brought that up at the tailgate.
What did he say?
He said, so what is Drake going to do on Twitter? Like, what should we be worried about this?
I think you guys are going to see it and laugh your balls off.
Well, hopefully it's a renewed version of Drake.
No, it's Drake.
Okay, well, we talked about you a fair amount at the tailgate.
It's because you guys miss me, dude.
Bo was asking about you.
He's like, I hope you guys understand that all those times, the only dude who would admit, Bo admitted it too. Ike and Bo told me that they would miss me. But after college, like, the boys were, they were like, dude, Drake, I mean, we'll miss everybody but you. Get the fuck away from me. And the boys missed the kid.
Kevin said it on the podcast the other day.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable clip. Kluver, well done.
Yeah, had to clip that. Back to what I was saying. Inside the stadium, it looked, the appearance, the aesthetic did not suffer drastically. I know a big question as the Hawks went on their three-game slide after losing to Michigan, Illinois, or at this point, I can't remember. Yeah, it was Michigan, Illinois, and then Ohio State.
Dude, we lost to Illinois.
Illinois is good. I mean, they're not great, but they're good. They're good. I mean, Kevin could tell you as he logs in here, hey, Kev, we that's the wrong one.
Kevin Ward, good to see him back out there.
Good to see you.
We actually just got finished discussing how all the boys miss me.
Video evidence.
What was that?
There's not supposed to be, but there is, because I'm tech guy and Kevin's all.
Kevin, did you stop paying your internet bill?
Kevin's on that Gervas Wi-Fi. I was just watching Gervas. I was just watching Gervas in the Rams game.
He tried to run through that dude's face on the last punt.
Yeah, he was.
That is attack to cover, or whatever Coach Woods used to say. Rush to cover.
Well, Gervas has to play at warp speed to play at everybody else's 95%. So, yeah, he's every punt that the Rams had, I'd find him, which isn't hard because he's a PP, and I'd be like, come on, Gervas. Come on. He's out there competing. He's running downfield. He's throwing his body around. He's losing to George. Niners just spanked him, boys. And you want to know why?
Christian McCaffrey is the truth.
McCaffrey had a...
He's God resurrected.
McCaffrey said, oh, I haven't felt like this since old Rose Bowl 2016. He probably has.
He's had a couple years in the NFL.
He's had a couple days in the NFL as well. But he just threw, caught, and ran for a touchdown in the same game. How about that? That sounds like he was playing the Hawks today. He was playing a couple Hawks. He was playing with a couple Hawks too, or one Hawk, I guess. George with a touchdown 2 weekends in a row. Come on now.
I attribute that touchdown to the countless bad spot jugs balls that I shot him in his barn this offseason. He was always saying, like, aim it up over my shoulder and I'm going to catch this one backhanded. And we would do like 30 of them. And then he'd be like, all right, now throw this one to my back shoulder and like make it ugly.
Jimmy, he was wide open for a second. That safety, I believe, dropped back.
And if made Jimmy it, would have planted his foot right after he made the fake, I mean, it's you don't get more open.
But then he had to drop it in the bucket, which he did. And George is – you want to talk about high-pointing a ball? You're fucked if you're going up against George. You're absolutely screwed. So that's two in a row. Kev, welcome to the podcast. Don't want to exclude you here. Big day yesterday in Iowa City. Nice little tailgate. Nice little Ward tailgate. Nice little time seeing the Bo Burr, the Yonks, the Ward family in general. I guess your parents, your brothers weren't there. How was last night? You just go home,
man.
Because the last time that I talked to you, your plans were, I think I'm just going to go home and get fucked up.
And those plans were well executed. we went out there and we executed a tight game plan,
and you got the victory. You know,
we're going to look at the film. We're going to make some minor corrections today, and then we'll go back out there and hopefully we'll have another good performance next weekend.
Put another one together. Put a little momentum. Awesome.
Yeah. You just gotta start stringing good weeks together, you know?
Yeah. I agree. And the Hawks put one good week together. We got to watch that together, at least for three quarters. Bo did not go into the game, had no interest, as we talked about on the Thursday preview. Kevin and I did go into the game, left at the end of the third quarter, and then watched the final quarter out at the tailgate. And, it actually has nothing to do with Drake being back on the podcast today. That is mostly the top five Halloween candy segment that is upcoming here in about 20 minutes, which is why Drake is here. But the Iowa offense, best day of the year. So we can maybe just phantom attribute that to that as well. Let's take a look at the stats here. Spencer Petras, 21 of 30, 220 yards passing and a touchdown. The Hawks rushed for 178 yards as a team. And together, that is just shy of 400 total yards of offense, which is damn near double what the black and gold have been averaging this year. Turns out Northwestern is not Ohio State. Shocker. And
they are who they thought we were. No,
they are who
we thought they were.
I would agree with that. And who did we think they were, Kev?
We thought they're a very subpar football team.
Just one of the worst, in fact. They're not good. I'm trying to find this this little swish in the Discord actually contributed to, if I can find it, contributed to this podcast, because he posted the defensive rankings for some of the teams that we have played this year. And granted, here they are. Granted, that defensive ranking is aggregated with Iowa being one of their opponents, but Illinois currently has the number one defense overall, Ohio State number two, Michigan number five, Iowa State number nine, and South Dakota State is number three defensively in the FCS. Those are five of our eight opponents, all ranked in the top 10 SDSU in their own division. So contrast that to the teams that we're going to play. Purdue is ranked the 43rd best defense, Wisconsin 34th, Minnesota 12th. That's still pretty damn good. Nebraska 124th overall.
Oof.
Not good. I know at one point early in the year after they played Northwestern and then Georgia, I think through three games, Nebraska was giving up 550 yards a game.
So I think they just have to like retire the black shirt name from memory. You know,
they took the black shirts away. I know when Mickey Joseph took over, I'm pretty sure, or maybe it was a couple weeks after, he took any black shirts that had been handed out at that point. He basically like indefinitely suspended the black shirt program and said, hey, let's focus on winning ball games before we start talking about how good we are at defense. And nothing's really changed. Even worse, their quarterback went out with an injury, Casey Thompson. They had to bring in Purdy's brother, whose name is Chubby. It's not Chubby, it's Chuba. But he's not great, and they couldn't even cover the spread this weekend of 6.5 points. They lose 23-9, 26-9, 23-9, somewhere around there. Nebraska in a bad, bad spot. Kev, initial thoughts, other than they are who we thought they were, about the Northwestern game that we watched with our own eyes yesterday?
Initial thoughts is, I mean, this is clearly the best performance from the offense, but more specifically, the offensive line had
by far
their best game of the year, but not even in the same realm as any of the other previous seven games.
Some of the pockets that Spencer was getting, and this might be a little because we've been doled by all of the, or may, not doled, we've actually been scarred by the pockets that he hasn't seen this year. Some of them were shockingly big. He was standing back there with all the time in the world. And it
I mean, I don't know if there's just a lack of dudes over there in Evanston.
There is.
But Spencer had the most time I think he's ever had in a football game in his career.
And what did that result in?
Right. Yeah. And it resulted in him being able to find the open guy and makes really crisp, clean passes
that were on target.
Right, and we were able to establish a run game, and it resulted us in running like about as clean as an offensive performance you could possibly imagine, right? Yes. We scored on 7 of 8 possessions.
Correct. It was night and day from, I looked at you after that first, after the first three scores, and it was 13-0. And I said something along the lines of, Northwestern can't feel good right now because we've scored on all three of our possessions, and we're the last ranked offense in the country.
But not only that, it's just like doing it how we exactly want to do it. As,
correct.
As like the Iowa football offensive philosophy is methodically march down the field, burn clock, keep their offense off the field, and then obviously hopefully put points on the board at the end of it. But, you know, 9 plays, 63 yards, 5 minutes. 14 plays, 59 yards, 640. 15 plays, 85 yards, 643. You know, just running an extremely efficient offense, moving the ball forward, first down, and not relying on big plays to get it done. I mean, that is the exact KF model of how we want to play offensive football.
That's what you want to see.
Ideally, yes. You know, some of those field goals end up being touchdowns, but when the Iowa Hawkeyes only punt the ball one time, had a damn good day in offense.
One time, Drake, if you had to guess, because Drake didn't see the game or check in on this, how far would you guess that Torrey Taylor's one punt went?
I have no idea. I would have never in a bazillion years guessed that we scored on 7 of 8 possessions. You could have put a gun to my head and been like, A, B, and C are 7 out of 8, and D is 3 out of 8, and I'd have been like, D, bang.
Squid Games, bang. It wasn't all good. You know, we would have liked more touchdowns, I would say. You know, 4 of those were field goals, and that brings us to, oh, I want to hear your answer first, Drake. How long do you think the one punt from, this is a trick question, by the way.
69 yards.
12 yards.
It's tough.
Torrey Taylor shanked his one opportunity for 12 yards.
So it was literally upside down day, alternate universe day.
Yes. But that brings me to the
and that one shank punt is what resulted in Northwestern's
true
first touchdown. Really, their only true touchdown. They scored in the last play of the game against the twos. So
the reserves. Yep. Yeah. Back to Drew Stevens on those 4 of 7 of our scoring drives. 4 field goals. Kid went 4 for 4, including the 3 for 3 on the PATs, which are obviously expected, but kid still got to go out there and swing the leg. 54 yarder.
It's good to know we have that one in the bag.
To highlight that, with a slight wind in his face, and the kid was tented after he hit.
He's a freshman, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Did he walk on? He had to walk on.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't give scholarships to specialists anymore.
Oh, really? What about Mick Ellis?
Anymore.
Yeah, well, he's the reason. him and Cornbrath are part of the reason that is a thing.
Think about that. Mick Ellis was on scholarship, Kevin, and we were not for a lot of years.
He got more school paid for
than both of us combined.
All of us combined. And I was on
Mick
for
Ellis. Mick, if I ever see him, I'm gonna beat the shit out of you. I hope you know that.
Kid, he just wasn't cut out for D1 football. He wasn't cut out. Nonetheless. It was but 2 years ago when the walk-ons were searching for somebody to handle their merchandise. We found a company, we did our first merch run, and it all went down the drain because we found somebody that wasn't like AdCraft, that didn't operate like they do at AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. And thank God we found the people at AdCraft, because ever since then, since we started working with this beautiful company from Clinton, everything we've done has been smooth, has been fast, has been quality, and they take care of a lot of headaches that the Washed Up Walk-Ons, our brand, would otherwise have to deal with, and we don't want to have to think about those things. Their customer service, their warehouse staff, their design team, the speed at which they get things done, their ability to handle sports teams and companies and brands like ours. They can do it all, and if you have custom merchandise and apparel needs, or you just have an idea for a t-shirt that might sell a little bit, hit up AdCraft, adcraftwebstores.com. I promise, the walk-on promise, that you are going to be satisfied with what they can do for you. AdCraft, custom apparel and merchandise. IA.drf.com. I'll say it again. IA.drf.com to sign up and start playing now and cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. They are Iowa's sportsbook. They are kind of like the walk-ons. They got that walk-on mentality. They're the little guy trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a hell of a job. We're helping each other grow each other's brands. They have some of the best sign-up bonuses, sign-up promos, deposit matches, you know, first bet promotions in the game. You're going to get at least one of those when you sign up, and you can start cashing in right now. You can also go visit the official DRF Sportsbook in person at Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola during the season as well. Be sure to listen to our Thursday episodes, the preview episodes, where we will feature our walk-ons times DRF collabs, where we choose a bet each week to boost the odds and see if we can't all make a little green. Shout out to DRF for being an incredible sponsor, incredible people, and helping us here at the walk-ons.
It's getting close. Dude, you're getting close, Poppy.
Yeah, Poppy is about to be a real status for me. 33 weeks tomorrow. Yeah, it's like here, basically. So, you know, that's a thing. Podcast list.
Woo!
Podcast listeners, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans out there across the world, if we happen to just not have an episode out, you know, I've been pretty consistent in, hey, we'll get an episode out most of the time. If we just don't have an episode out 1 or 2 days in a row that we're supposed to, kid might be here. Might be spending time with the fam before we could come home and settle in. Because we know these two bozos ain't gonna figure out how to get on here and record and send me the link to post. So, all right, let's quickly talk about our picks from the weekend, Kev. Which I'm not even good enough to go 1-2 this week.
Tough, man. Ass. Tough. It's tough out here.
I'm getting fucked. I'm about to join the Drake train on the betting stuff and just say, hey, I found Jesus and
this just ain't for me, fam. I just got to hang them up.
Yeah. Quickly, I'm going to go over those. My picks of the week were the BYU Cougars.
Soaking them.
Needed a little too much soaking this week.
They were too busy thinking about the chicks they were going to go home and soak to. So, and they got their ass beat 27-24 to open the weekend. It was actually a Friday night game, Thursday or Friday night game. 0-1 for the Kluv dog. Number two, which was actually the Iowa game, would have been the Iowa game. It was the under. I thought for sure, how the hell do these two teams score over 37 points? They found a way. 0-2. And of course, Kev, we talked about the USC-Arizona game being like an 800 point over under, and the algorithms just know. They just understand. They're algorithms for a reason. Jesus, I have a list.
Wow.
I'm so bad at betting, and it's making me so sad that my brain is working its way towards the state of Drake's, which evidently is,
excuse me,
which is evidently completely clean, but none of us believe him on his current recent CT scan. USC could not beat Arizona by 15 points or more. They only won by 7 or 8. So that is an 0-4-3 for me on the weekend. I am not even a 1-2 better. I'm trash. I'm Forky from the latest Toy Story. I'm trash. So, Kev, how'd you do?
Well, I think I'm 1-2 for like the last 3 weeks in a row. That big early season lead that we built up early in the year.
Yep.
Dwindling down really quickly. So we started off the day with Ohio State -15.5 at Penn State. Just clearly the better football team. They wait till the fourth quarter to actually make it known, and are covering until Penn State scores a touchdown with a minute left. So Ohio State only wins by 13 and does not cover. Then we moved to, we had Kansas State and Oklahoma State over 56 points, and Kansas State decided that they weren't going to let Oklahoma State score any points, and they were going to score all of the points, 48-0. I get nothing out of the Cowboys. And
potentially the most shocking game score of the weekend.
It's got to be, right?
Across college football, had to be.
A top 10 team getting beat by 50 in a shutout.
And granted, Kansas State was ranked 22nd, but that just doesn't happen, boys and girls. I mean, that was bad. And Drake actually gave us inside info that Okie State.
Yo, was okay, so, here we go. I went to hang with my high school buddy from he's in Phoenix because his wife plays tennis, and there was a tennis tournament on here. So, of the people I was with that weren't him, they were all Kansas State fans. And they were talking about how it was insane that they were a favorite over Oklahoma State, who was like number 9. And then my buddy's telling me, like, dude, they're not that good. They're not that good. And there's no way they should be a favorite against Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's a lock. My buddy told me that. They got beat 48-0.
Yeah. Dude, betting's hard, man. Betting is hard.
And granted, it wasn't me. I was just telling you that, hey, somebody just told me that this is – I wanted to pass the information to the bros. Turns out, terrible information.
Yeah. Bo was sitting at the tailgate and tried to, like, in the middle of the game, I think at halftime when it was like 31-0 or something like that, 35-0, he tried to text you and say, Okie State's a lock, huh? How about that? But it didn't go through. And so
I got to it and I was like, that turns out to be terrible information.
Yeah. Drake comes back to us and says, turns out I was fed bad info. Glad none of us. Did you put that bet in, Kev?
No, I've never. I haven't bet.
Not you, Drake. Kev.
Oh, yeah. It was part of the parlay. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I just needed a couple points out of Oklahoma State to make that one hit. And they decided that wasn't in the cards today.
Yeah.
Last pick of the day was Oregon -17 at Cal. They win by 18 and cover there. So 1-2 on the day, 1-2 podcast, 1-2 podcast host.
We are a 1-2 podcast. We're an Iowa Western podcast, which we just got a commitment.
Yeah, how did the Reavers do this weekend?
I don't know, but we got a commitment from them, from a guy that looks a lot like Davion Nixon. Coming in, so you know, hopefully he can play like Davion.
Are we getting Knicks on or Knicks off?
I don't know. We've had some. Let's be honest. If you track the Iowa Western associated players that we've brought in or had to send to that program before, there's a lot of hits or misses there. Some hits and there's some misses.
Shout out Nick Easley.
Easley was a hit. Shout out Newton. Before we move on and talk a little bit about Northwestern and really get into the meat and potatoes of this, which is Halloween, which you guys are listening to this on Halloween. And I believe tonight when we're recording this, there are currently children out trick-or-treating, and Lauren's strategy is turn all the lights off and act like no one lives in this house. We don't participate in Halloween. Neither of us are Halloween people.
You don't give away candy to kids, you freak.
You don't just put a bowl of candy on your porch?
Nope.
You're actually a piece of shit.
No. You deserve to get TP'd.
Yeah.
I believe.
I hope people egg you. I genuinely do. I hope you get egged.
I can do it.
Please egg Clover's house if you see you live in Waukee.
Yeah,
make him clean
the
chicken.
We might have to leak the addy.
I think people.
We're doxing Clover.
Yeah.
Please dox me. I believe that tonight is called Beggar's Night, and I don't know the history of that. Kev, can you give me a history lesson on that?
Beggar's Night? I don't know anything about Beggar's Night.
That's what tonight's called. I don't know.
Before Halloween?
Yeah. Let's have a history lesson. Beggar's Night.
Drake, do you know what this Beggar's Night is?
Nah, we're just coming up with some more bullshit.
No, Beggar's Night is a regional term for the practice of going trick-or-treat. In the period before Halloween night, Beggar's Night emerged to address security concerns over young children involved in unsupervised trick-or-treating. They're trying to they're trying to prevent Dahmer from coming around. And
I don't get the concept. What do we?
I don't know.
You trick or treat the day before trick or treating because that's safer somehow.
I guess it happens in Buffalo, New York, Des Moines, Iowa, Columbus, Ohio, Washington, D.C., Vermont, Seabrook, New Hampshire, and Houston, Texas. That's what the Wikipedia says. So that explains why you guys would not understand what Beggar's Night is.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. I don't get it. It's weird.
I don't either, but it's evidently happening tonight. Okay. Drake, you like money, right? Kevin, you like money. Bread?
I like money.
Love bread.
I think our listeners like money, right? Why wouldn't you? We partnered with an app that, if you haven't heard, named Picket, like picking, making picks, right? Which Kevin and I are poor at doing. I won one NFL bet today. Luckily, I put the most units down on it, which made me even for the day. It was the Jets and the Patriots under, which hit by 1 point. Shout out. You could potentially make $250 easier than you ever have before by signing up for the Picket app. And a lot of you have signed up, but you have to confirm your account for it to count. Okay. Sign up for Picket, P-I-K-K-I-T. You're going to be able to aggregate all of your betting data into one spot to be able to control that, do your own little research, follow along with your stats and analysis, make you better at making money on the weekend in everybody's favorite hobby, sports betting. And you have the potential by signing up with the code WALKON, W-A-L-K-O-N, at $250. It's not like there's 10,000 people that have signed up for that app. You know, we don't have that many listeners. So if you sign up and you're one of the people to sign up, even if you haven't made a bet, you could still sign up and make $250. Use the code WALKON and you're automatically entered. They are giving away $250. Shout out to Picket. All right, let's talk a little bit about this Northwestern game. Again, it's not like here's the story of this game. And it's what the people who love complaining, first of all, as I'm probably the one who's on Twitter the most here and social media in general when it comes to the Iowa ecosystem, it is amazing how when you win a game, how many less bitching people there are on the internet. I mean, it's like...
We talked about it last week. You still see the people like, doesn't matter. Yeah. Still can them. This team's trash. Like, just like wanting them to be bad just so they can validate themselves.
Sick. We beat Northwestern. Fucking, yeah, that solves a lot. Okay, dude, just be mad then. Just be mad at everything.
What did you want them to do this week?
It's almost like they wanted them to keep losing, right? It's like, okay, you're just mad at life then. You're just pissed. That is some of it, right? We played Ohio State last week. We played Northwestern this week. Those are two different opponents. You don't get to choose who shows up on the other sideline that day. You just have to go play and execute. And that's what the Hawks did. They got a win. They won by several scores. They won convincingly. They moved the ball on offense. The defense continued to do what they do. Yes, opponent matters. Yes, Northwestern is bad at football. Fitz is going to have a heart attack with some of the shit that's going down on his side of the field, but they're still on scholarship. They're still 18 to 20-year-old kids who are lifting weights and are really good at football compared to the general population, and their coaches are making millions of dollars to win games as well. So we got to win. I think the biggest takeaway, like Kevin said, is that offensively, Spencer and our skill players suddenly look a lot better when we have time for plays to develop and Spencer has time to throw the ball. It's amazing. It's actually amazing.
I mean, it just really all starts up front. You know, that allows us to run passing concepts that take a little bit more time to develop versus, you know, having to rely on guys just to beat guys one-on-one, which area that we're going to struggle at.
Yep.
Because
we don't have dudes like that.
Sometimes you just don't got the horses like that. But when you got the horses up front winning,
I got allow the horses on the sides back.
A little bit more leniency in how we can do things.
Yeah. Running game looked fantastic. You know, we were extremely balanced.
Yeah, just a very efficient game. And this goes back to, you know, even the best KF offenses aren't going to look good statistically. Like,
correct,
a 400 yard game is about as good as you're ever going to see an Iowa Hawkeyes offense.
Yeah,
but they score in 78 drives, and the opponent gets 8 drives.
Correct. Yeah.
If you score 33 points and give your opponent 8 drives versus the Iowa defense, I'm pretty sure you win that game 99% of the time.
Yeah. Controlled possession, 32-28. Which I don't know how many games we've had controlled possession this year. And we defensively, I believe Lystico put this out on Twitter, we're down to defensively allowing 3.7-ish yards per play, which is pretty darn good.
Pretty good.
Darn good. So all in all, it's a win. It puts us at 4-4 with 4 games left.
Four winnable football games left.
Four winnable football games. I think
we'll be a favorite for one of them.
I think arguably Nebraska is a very winnable football game.
I think we'll be a favorite that game.
Even though we're.
I think we'll be a favorite that game. We're a 5.5-point dog on the road this week.
Yeah. Purdue's a tough one.
Purdue.
We're going to Purdue.
Hey, Charlie Jones, bud.
Yeah, Charlie.
He's going to have 12 catches.
Well, he has 8 a game, a touchdown, and 100 yards. That's what he averages.
Yep. He's going to score. He's gonna have 12 catches and a score.
Hopefully, it's the only score.
Hopefully, but it's just like it's just
Purdue's offense is playing pretty well statistically, but they've only really played one good defense in Minnesota.
Yeah,
and they held them 20 points.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, and I don't know what you say about the Brohm factor against Iowa since our senior year. He has sort of had our number for whatever reason. It's been an outlier game in multiple seasons for our defense.
You got to remember how well Brohm has been writing up game plans to attack our defense through the air. They've been throwing on us for 400 yards a game for the past 6 years.
Yeah, I know. But at some point, when does Phil Parker get one on him, you know?
I don't know because we run zone defenses and Brohm's willing to throw it 50 times under his own.
You're not wrong. They're probably going to throw for more. It's a bend don't break game, right?
Like it's definitely a bend don't break game.
And their defense is, you know, we're going to preview this, but their defense is not, you know, what we've played to this point. So we've got an opportunity there. Minnesota might be it's at their place. That's going to be a close line. That's a winnable ball game. And Wisconsin at home in 2 weeks. Boys are back together, by the way. Toolbox game the night before. I think we can take one from Whiskey.
There's no reason that we can't go 4-0 down the stretch. They're also 4 games that could easily go the wrong way for us.
I was going to say, there's.
Oh, is Wisconsin offense that poopy? Like, I know our defense is good, but is their offense that poopy?
They are maddeningly inconsistent.
Yeah.
They've played better the last few weeks. So since dropping the ball to Illinois, they put up 42 versus Northwestern, but, you know.
We almost did that.
Dude, how about that? Illinois beats Wisconsin and Iowa in the same year.
And Minnesota.
Illinois.
Whoa.
I'm really excited.
Back-to-back-to-back weeks, those three teams.
Wow, I've been under a rock, but that is tremendous football.
I'm excited to see the Illinois versus Michigan game in a couple weeks. It'll be a really good measuring stick for them. The more I watch them, the more I think that they really are a pretty good football team.
They have a good defense. Very good defense. Yeah.
And they can run the ball.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see when they play someone who's drastically more athletic than them, like at Michigan, how they hold up over the course of a game, right? Because we know how that works is even our defense against Ohio State, they're just going to eventually get over on you. And yeah, it'll be interesting.
I think they could match up decently against Michigan, though.
We'll see. It'd be a real fun game.
I think that line will be less than a 10-point 10-point game.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah. But like you said, Kev, four games that we could win, four games that would not be shocking if we lost everyone too. Like, you would not be surprised if we lost. So that could be.
I mean, it's what KF always talks about is what happens in November makes for.
Yep.
What your season turns into. Like, this can turn into a horrible season that really sets the program on a downward trajectory, or you can rally this at the end of this year and turn it into a pretty good football year.
Bowl eligibility is still just basically hanging in the balance right now. And, you know, you lose this week and your backs are against the wall. If you win this week, you feel like you're in a whole different spot and you've got a chance to go 8-4. Right. So, that's kind of where we're at.
8-4. And somehow Indianapolis is still in the equation.
Illinois has to lose 3 of 4, but yeah, you're right. Somehow,
Purdue,
somehow
Michigan, and I think they've got Michigan State and Northwestern left. So, you know, it's possible.
It's mathematically possible. And Kevin and I talked about this with the baby coming and our offense this year. If we go to Indianapolis, the boys aren't going to be there this
year. I ain't showing up in Indianapolis.
We're not going to be there this year.
Sorry, guys.
We do encourage all of you to go because there aren't a lot of opportunities to go to the Lucas
Oil. A fun time.
It is. It is
a very fun time. Yeah. There's always fun drinking Indianapolis out of their beer.
Absolutely. All right. Enough of that. We will preview Purdue on Thursday. But now we come to the thick part of the episode, the part that Drake showed up for, and Bane. Thanks, Bane, for being here.
You heard his name.
And Kev, I hope you've got a top five. We're going Halloween candy. As you guys are listening to this on Halloween, or just after, if you catch up a few days past. There's a little controversy in this, I think, to start off with, because is Halloween candy the topic, the genre, the category? Isn't it just candy in general? Isn't all candy Halloween candy?
Yeah.
Any candy can be Halloween candy, yes.
And so in that instance, is this top five Halloween candy from when we were a kid and we were getting candy?
I went with things that are like super simple and that come individually packaged and like,
okay,
they're packaged for like fun. You know what I'm saying? For living.
Yeah, no, I got you. Because my thoughts as a kid were slightly different than they are now.
My number five is basically an honorable mention to my number one as a child, and okay, then the rest are my current favorites.
Okay, so we'll stipulate a little bit because, you know, Tyler's stomach and the amount of sugar that I can handle, it's changed over the years.
Oh, so, hasn't it?
And yours specifically, Drake.
God damn it.
So I will start it off. And I might take heat for this. This is
is this going to be a shit on Tyler top five?
It could be. And it's been you most of the time when we've done these top fives with the life cereal.
Because I keep it real, all right? I'm not playing to the masses.
If you put candy corn number one, I'm coming to Coralville and I'm fucking you up myself.
Candy corn is trash.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. I think everyone just took a big sigh of relief on that one. And play along at home, too. Put together your top five here.
America needs farmers. Corn makes the state of Iowa go. Candy corn, number one, baby.
Quote him. Clip it. Rolos.
Love that pick. Almost made my list.
All right.
Give me Rolos at number five, and they were in a battle for the five spot with my honorable mention that I'll bring up later.
But tell me that a Rolo isn't just a Milky Way with less caramel.
It's a Milky Way without the nougat.
It's a little different. A little different.
And it's
or not
little,
Milky Way. I'm sorry. Yeah. What's the full caramel? A Milky Way, right? No.
A Milky Way has caramel and nougat.
They're similar. They're a little different.
So give me the Rolo.
There's nougat in a Milky Way?
Yeah.
No way.
Yes. A Three Musketeers is a Milky Way without the caramel.
Right.
And a
Milky
Snicker.
Way.
A Snickers is a Milky Way with peanuts in it.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure.
Yes.
I knew.
Are you unaware of what's inside of candy bars?
Dude, I thought Milky Way was just caramel. I've eaten a lot of them. I did not know there was nougat mixed in there. It looks like just caramel.
No, there's nougat in Milky Ways, bro.
What the fuck, man?
We're learning. We're learning stuff. So anyway, I thought I might get roasted for this one because it is such a simple, and I don't know if I know some people that never even have fucked with Rolos, but Rolos was a big thing for the Kluver boys. So Rolos at my number five spot. Kevin?
So yeah, like I said, my number five is not really my current number five, but it was my number one as a child. I loved the Tootsie Roll Pop.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
So something very similar made my list.
Okay. Yeah, I was a big fan of Suckers as a kid.
How many licks does it take, you know?
I never found out. I always sucked on it for about 5 minutes tops before I started biting into that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to suck that long. I wouldn't know.
I think you would.
Drake, what's your number five?
I think with number five, I'm going to go Smarties.
Oh, no.
I like Smarties. I don't hate that. I don't hate that pick. My brother.
It was between Smarties and Sour Patch Kids. All right, give me Sour Patch Kids and give me Smarties at honorable mention.
Okay, that's fine.
Are you more like a sour, fruity type of candy guy than a chocolate
guy? Hey, how about you let me get to the rest of my list, dickhead?
All right. Get to the rest of your trash list here in a little bit.
I won the list game both times. The listener said I was the funniest and had the best list. You said leaves, you fucking weirdo. A
couple people love that man. Pick, by the way.
Yeah, a couple out of 5,000, 10,000.
I'm sorry, you live in the fucking desert and you don't get to see leaves.
Yeah.
Dude,
Drake has a lack of leaves in his life.
What? Dude,
I'm going cacti to Sedona aren't leaves.
There's no lack of leaves in Sedona.
So we got Rolos, Tootsie Pops.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I didn't mean to call you that name. That was out of line by me.
Smarties. Those.
You
those
just told even... me you missed me, and then I come back with that, and that's just unacceptable by me.
And it just reaffirms my immediate reaction to saying it. Cut that. Warranted. I did not mean that whatsoever.
Warranted. Smarties. Okay. We'll go to the four spot. We'll go to the four spot, and this one is a. Honestly, underrated in my opinion, but Swedish Fish. I'm a big Swedish Fish guy.
That made your number four spot?
Number four, man. The little mini.
Yikes, dude.
The single serve Swedish Fish like, little pouches.
I don't hate Swedish Fish whatsoever, bro. At all. I'm good with them, but no way they make a top fiver.
And here's where I probably deserve a little flack. You know, like, even though I was fat once upon a time, hashtag Doyle baby fat, I was never a candy guy, right? And I wasn't a big Halloween guy either. So my list to choose from here of stuff that I've really dabbled with, it's not big. But give me the Swedish Fish, and especially if it's like a fresh, if you get the like Swedish Fish that are stale, those things are like chewing on a tire. Still tastes good, but they...
You could harm someone by throwing them at them.
Yeah, they hurt. They're little basically bullets. And that's probably, you know, that's a week's number four, but it's my number four and I'll stand by it.
My number four is probably my most controversial in that it's sometimes you just don't need to fuck around with chocolate and just give me a Hershey's bar.
See,
oh, no, that's not controversial at all. I love that pick. It's okay, higher on my list.
What in the... What did I sign up for tonight, fellas?
Man, a top five. Sometimes you just don't got to mess with chocolate. Chocolate's good by itself. Just give me some chocolate.
Agreed. What
a
do you
little
got?
Hershey's bar and a glass of milk? Oh, my
Ooh,
God.
Yeah,
put
yeah,
me
yeah,
to
yeah.
sleep, baby.
So I'm mad.
Okay. What's your number four?
So my number four is similar to Kevin's number five, except for it's the Blue Raspberry Blow Pop.
Specifically the Blue Raspberry.
Specifically, because if I was picking out of a bucket and there was Blow Pops, I would only pick a Blow Pop if it was Blue Raspberry.
Blow Pops.
Otherwise, I'm picking something else.
Blow Pops kind of went off.
I mean, Blow Pops are incredible. You can enjoy a Blow Pop for like a period and a half in middle school, dude.
Yeah, and then you could chew on that gum for at least 10 minutes.
At least 10 minutes. That gets you through the rest of that second period. A blow pop will get you from second period to lunch in middle school, bro.
That's big. That's big. The blue raspberry. Wow, the blow pop. I didn't even think of that.
If I was going to choose my Tootsie Roll pop flavor, it would either be orange or red.
Orange was
red
good.
For sure. I mean, it's orange not a contest.
My favorite blow pop was the watermelon. Big watermelon guy. Blow pop. That didn't even come across my radar. That was something that I ate when I was a kid. All right. This is a.
You got to remember, I stopped trick or treating when I was 12. So, you know, maybe 10.
I stopped before that. So again,
did you?
Yeah, maybe I was around the same age as you too. Yeah.
10 probably. It sounds
like 10 to 12, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Now we're going to come back to where Drake's learning about what's inside candy bars, because number three is the Milky Way. I was a Milky Way guy.
I was
scared of peanuts when I was a little kid. I thought they were bad. I thought I didn't like them. And that was just in my head. That was one of those things where you're like, oh yeah, I don't like so-and-so food. I don't eat that food. And it's because you got it in your head as a kid that you didn't like it. And then for 10 years, you didn't eat it. And that was the Snickers for me. I'll enjoy a Snickers like anybody nowadays. But as a kid, and even to this day, give me that Milky Way, baby. And they're, Drake, you might be even confused because they came out eventually with an extra caramel Milky Way, which is like double caramel. And those have like no nougat, or they might be all caramel in it. I forgot. But my three spot, Milky Way.
Respect that. It's a good choice. It's a good choice. My number three is probably got the one of the more annoying commercials as a child. But, you know, give me a break of that Kit Kat bar.
And he went and got the Kit Kat bar. That's a respectable pay. That's a
big jealousy. You just got a Kit Kat laying around.
I just went
to this. Clover, I give candy to the kids because
fuck you, Kevin.
I'm not a psychopath.
That's like Bo.
I also do, and I just am not in my house right now. So
right. Well, that's like Bo at the tailgate this weekend saying, you know what? I'm in the orthopedic sales profession because I care about the patient's well-being. That's the quote of the weekend from Bo. He goes, I'm in it for the patient's well-being. What an asshole. I just want the patients to be taken care of.
He's in it for United States currency.
Yeah, I think so. Kevin, fuck you. Eating a Kit Kat. It's a respectable pick, though, and I do feel like that's going to be high on most people's list. That's going to make most people's top fives.
I've got my other top two here, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to eat them as we go.
Jesus Christ. All right. Drake?
Snickers.
That's, yeah, another respectable pick.
Yeah, can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. I, like Clover, also did not eat nuts as a child. It was more a texture thing for me.
Oh.
But now as an adult, yeah, Snickers, things just... I think if you think of a candy bar, that's like what most people think.
It's got to be... Right? Snickers has got to be the goat candy bar, right? And it's interesting that as we grew older, Kev, and we kind of become more, you know, comfortable with our sexuality, we came around at the idea of nuts. Right?
Wait, you trying what? To pull some Freud shit on me? What are you getting at?
Yeah. I just think...
My pronouns are she, her, and I like...
You trying to psychoanalysis my candy selections?
Maybe. I think everybody should be comfortable with nuts. That's all I'm saying. All right, we're at number two, and this there's a repeat here because, like Kevin said, sometimes you just don't fuck with chocolate. Just give me that little mini one-block Hershey bar.
Oh, no. You got to go king size, baby.
Well, I mean, if you can get
mine king was size. King size Snickers. It like or like.
Well, of big course Snickers. We're taking in volume, but I don't fucking walk around Homer Glen as a kid. I was on 1317 Greenfield Drive, boys and girls, and let me tell you, my neighbors, some of them were hurting.
So you're saying the king candy bars were few and far in between in your neighborhood?
I couldn't even tell you that I saw a king size when I was a kid in my neighborhood. And that's no knock on the Greenfield neighborhood.
You know how I know that your parents hated you?
How? Please tell me.
They didn't take you to a better neighborhood.
My parents, this is probably why I'm not a big Halloween person. They weren't big Halloween people either. Todd, you think Todd was fucking around with Halloween? Todd didn't want fucking kids coming up on his steps. Get off our steps. But yeah, give me that Hershey bar. It's so good.
In fact, to me that's number two.
I've got a Hershey bar. Ludicrous. The only candy I have in my house is a single Hershey bar from two summers ago when we were making s'mores. So yeah,
that's stale.
Probably.
Just heat it up a little bit. It'll be just fine.
Nice and gooey. Kev, you're number two.
My number two has also been stated before. I love a nice Milky Way.
Oh, and he's got the Milky Way with him.
You know,
dude, he's stocked up on candy right now, and I'm dumb jealous.
I hope you're working out tomorrow to burn that off.
See, we got the chocolate, nougat, and caramel on there.
Yeah.
So I think I was simply too dumb as a kid to know that there was two textures of nougat. And so, like, when I bit into a Snickers, that nougat was not the same stuff that was in Milky Way. And it looked like caramel to me, I think. And I just, you know what, I was too stupid. I don't know what to tell you.
That could have been it. As we know, your childhood was a little bit, there were some ups and some downs, you know? And
I thought I was smart, though, dude. I really did.
Nougat got lost somewhere along the way.
No, it didn't, because I knew what the nougat in Snickers was. And is that the same? Is it nougat only that's in the Three Musketeers?
Yes.
Okay, so I had that one right too. But
by the way, Three Musketeers, get fucked, bud.
Oh, what? Once in a while, one of those can slap a dill diesel.
No. Only nougat? Take that to the trailer park and get out.
Oh, no, I'd smash some.
Oh, come on, Kevin. Sounds like it's for more of a sophisticated palate.
I get maybe it is.
It's a top 10 for me.
Oof, no. Okay, so Milky Way. You're number two, Drake. What, did you just say it?
My number two is Halloween specific Reese's, because then you know that the peanut
pumpkins?
Butter is no Reese's, like any shape, but just the, you know, the Reese's seasonal.
Sure.
That come in shapes. The peanut butter is way more fresh than the peanut butter in the cups, and you get more peanut butter to chocolate ratio. So give me the seasonal Reese's for number two.
Okay.
I didn't realize there's a picking season for Reese's out there being harvested.
There is. 100%. You're always going to get fresh peanut butter if you get your Reese's by season.
They are. Yeah. So they've got at Christmas, what is it? They've got the trees. Reese's trees. I think during Valentine's Day, they've got hearts. Halloween is pumpkin.
Easter, they have eggs.
Easter is an egg, and they always do have more peanut butter to chocolate ratio.
And fresher peanut butter.
And they're fresher because they only make them around that time. So you're right, Drake. That's a good analysis right there. That's a strong analytical pick.
All right. That's a veteran move. I respect that.
I do too. Hey,
man, I'm just here to win top fives.
Yeah.
Reese's is also in my top 10.
It might
be my five if I didn't throw the childhood throwback out there.
And so this brings me and us all to the number one slot where Reese's does take the cake for me. I simply just put the Reese's peanut butter cup. I did not go seasonal. I just went with the normal Reese's peanut butter cup. I agree with everything Drake said. I just wasn't that prepared in the game plan. I'll go Reese's peanut butter cup. It's really hard to beat out a Reese's, man. I mean, it's a great candy. I will, when I go to my grandma's during any time of the year, there's Reese's sitting out in a bowl. When I leave, there's no more Reese's sitting out in the bowl. They're gone. And
they're very smashable candy.
And Tyler, yeah, they are. Oh. They lack structural integrity and they melt quicker than anything.
No, I'm saying you can just go ahead and smash a dozen of them.
Oh, you can eat a few Reese's and not realize,
peanuts, dude. That's not even bad.
It's peanuts. Okay, so that's my number one. Kev, what do you got?
My number one. I'm surprised it hasn't come up on any of y'all's lists. Twix is my number one.
Wow.
Give me a little chocolate, little cookie, and a little caramel.
He's fucking eating. I hate you so much for eating it, but I also love you.
Well, maybe if you gave out Halloween candy to kids, you would have some in your house that you could also eat.
I'm a health and fitness coach, and you know how I feel about people who don't take care of themselves, and candy directly contradicts that.
You eat Culver's every Sunday.
It's part of the overall structure, boys and girls. And if I give kids...
You got to treat yourself every once in a while, pal.
If I give kids candy,
Facts.
I know they're eating like shit most likely the other 6 days of the week. So now I'm just contributing to the diabetes and the obesity in this country. And I can't personally do that. It's a conflict of interest with my career.
All right, then give apples out, you freak, or something. I don't know. Give out little protein shakes. Go buy a bunch of Core Powers and hand those out.
That would be funny if I was handing out Fairlives.
I would come by your house twice if you're handing out.
Me too. I would. Yeah, I'd change costumes.
I swear to God, I've seen you before. Weren't you a ghost? No, I'm a dinosaur. Give me a fucking Fairlife, bitch.
Give me Fairlife. Quit asking questions. You fed.
Drake, you're so worried about winning this top five. What's your number one draft pick here?
Free drugs.
That's simply not a pick.
Not candy. No.
Well, from what I understand, people are giving out drugs. I've heard that. You know, this may be a subject that a couple parents on this podcast don't like, but hey, give me a little fentanyl, you know? I'll take a little fentanyl.
There was potentially some kids that were getting to listen to our podcast for the first time because we were doing our favorite Halloween candy, and you've finished the segment with free drugs.
Hey, man, holy, I had to bring some Drake to it.
That's unbelievable. It is funny, the narrative of like, hey, watch for
fentanyl in your candy. Like, I don't think that's happening. Maybe it is.
What drug dealers are just
giving out free drugs? They're just expensive.
They're just shelling out free product. They're not a very good drug dealer.
I mean, maybe I guess it's happening because people are like scared about it, but I think it's just
scared about a lot of stuff that's never happened before.
Yeah. So that's why I put that, because I thought it was fun.
Can you imagine though? Can you imagine? Group of friends.
If somebody had given me an edible, yeah, it'd have been fantastic.
Group of friends gets together. There's 6, 7, 8 of you guys. You're all 12 years old. No, not even 12. You're 9. 9 is like a prime time for Halloween. You all dress up as your favorite Power Ranger, and somebody's this, somebody's that. And they actually, you find a house where they're actually giving out edibles, right? Accidentally. You all go home. You start pounding the candy. You're having a sleepover that night. And next thing you know, there's 8, 9-year-olds that are all tripping balls.
Bombed.
In costume. In some person's basement. And they are fucking crying. They don't know what's happening. God, that would be a scene. That would be unbelievable. There's just no way that's ever happened. There's no way.
They'd grow up different. They'd have a whole new idea.
And that is how we would get 8 more Drakes in the world. So there we go. Now, here's how I want to cap this conversation. At 28 years old, I guess Drake and I are 28. Kev, you're close. So young. You're so young, Kev.
Still full of life.
If we were back in Iowa City, in fact, Bo was trying to get us to go out last night in Iowa City. What costume are you putting on here at 27 years old? This year, I would have been Eddie Mercury.
You know who you should have been? Oh, shit. What's the guy's name?
I would have shaved my head and dressed up as Coach Doyle. That would have finally gotten me to shave my head.
My buddy Tyler Kovac this year.
Shout out Tyler Kovac. When he lived in our house his freshman year of college, he took some of my strength conditioning stuff and went as Halloween as Coach Doyle with a whistle and a strength conditioning hat and sweatshirt on. Oh, and he was out blowing his whistle, yelling, "Sam, Sam."
I would be Coach Doyle. No, Freddie Mercury, they do that in the Kinnick Stadium when they're like,
hey,
his like, hey-o. That was a warm-up for him at some concert. And then I started looking into Freddie Mercury, and I figured out how much of a fucking savage that dude was. So, inspiration. That's what I would have gone as.
Taking up the butt?
No, but, I mean, that's not part of the costume. Yeah. I'm good with nuts, but I'm not that good.
Okay. You know? Okay.
What would you pick, Kevin?
I have no idea, man. I have no idea what adults dress up as for Halloween.
Anything you want, Drake.
As long as I, you know, like we're not under the overwatch of the football team anymore. I would just be a fucking huge dong.
Just a big dick.
You just a big old penis, huh?
With balls as my shoes.
I think that this current look for you, Drake, would play well as the Heath Ledger Joker.
That would be phenomenal.
Yeah, like a full on, you know, get someone who knows what they're doing to paint your face up and do it all. And you would honestly terrify me in full Joker.
Because you never know what I'm thinking.
Well, so, because I, yeah.
No. Yeah. 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 Joker fits for you, your personality. Yeah. You're probably going to start robbing some banks here in the next couple of years. And then eventually.
My dog's name's Bane. So didn't do that on accident.
That's true. Kev, you should just go as like, you could just put scrubs on and just.
Kev, you look like a cop.
Could be a cop.
You look like a fed. If I saw you and you offered me drugs or asked for drugs, specifically if you asked for drugs, I would punch you in the face.
And I don't even know how to ask for drugs, man. Hey, exactly. Man, can I buy some drugs, please?
Hey, man. Yeti. It's like that. It's
hashtag
like that.
Not a cop.
It's like the fucking episode of It's Always Sunny. Who is it?
Two cracks, please.
Two. One crack rock, please. What is that called?
How much would that be?
Is it D and Dennis get addicted to crack?
Yeah, because they're trying to go get welfare.
That is a fucking amazing episode. Yeah. All right. We've got an hour and six minutes.
I'm going to give you one answer. This is what we were going to do this year. My girlfriend Alyssa and her friends wanted to dress up as the School of Rock, and I was going to be Freddy. I was going to be the Freddy, but we ended up going to the Hawkeye football game this weekend instead. So,
see. Well, that wraps up this episode. Hope you guys had fun. Hope you had a great top five. Let us know who won. I have a good feeling that any sensible person is going to either choose Kevin or me in this one.
If anybody has a sense of humor, I definitely win.
That might be true.
I don't think there's a whole lot of people out there that are actually looking to put fentanyl in their system.
Yeah, obviously, bozos. And just I don't drink. Think they're actually giving it out in Halloween candy. I was making a joke.
We'll be back. Drake will not. We're going to preview Purdue. We're going to talk about Charlie Jones. I'm already thinking about next week, Wisconsin toolbox game. Bo's back in town. I'm probably staying that Friday night. Not probably. I am staying that Friday night, hanging with the boys again, doing Saturday again. I'm excited to be back and see the men again. So that's all we got. 364, 1 and 2 podcast. Good to have Drake back again. We'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.